Today, we are up to lesson number 86 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. Today, we will study the last Mishnah of the 21st Perek and begin the first Mishnah of the 22nd Perek. So first, we are on Perek Chof Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Hanoigeya Biyad Megera. Megera is a saw, S-A-W, but it's a large saw that has handles on both ends, so that in the normal conditions, two people would operate the saw, one on one end, one on the other. So if the saw is tome, for example, if it came in contact with a mace, so now the saw, the metal part of the saw, is mekabel tumah. It's an av hatumah, conceivably, if it touched a mace. And the handles, anogeya biyad, the handles, yad, megera, mikanu mikan tome. From whichever side, the person who touches it becomes tome, if, of course, the megera is tome. Is tomei as an af, and the person who touches it becomes a rishon. Bichut uva meshicha. However, the way this saw is constructed, there is a string, a thread, or a rope which connects these two handles. So, if a person touches that rope, the chut or the meshicha, or bo'amo, he touches a long rod which goes along the length of the megira and connects to the two handles. Uvasnifim, the snifim is a small pole of wood which is put down vertically through the chut, through the thread, through the rope, and down to the amo. This is a way of tightening or loosening the length of the megera. Uvasnifin, or if the person touches, ba'amo is the wood that connects the two yodayim, the two handles. Snifim is the pole, the thin pole, which goes down and the string is kind of wrapped around it. The string or rope is wrapped around it, and it connects to the umma, so that by moving the snifim, you can tighten and narrow the distance between the two handles. If a person touches any of these secondary components of the megera, or b'machbesh shel chorosh, a machbesh is kind of a pressing machine of two heavy tablets of wood, so that if a carpenter has a crooked piece of wood which he wants to flatten, he can flatten it in this machbesh, in this pressing machine. So the person who touches the machbesh shel chorosh, or uva kashtonis. Kashtonis is a kind of a curved handle to which a drill is attached. When you want to rotate the drill, you need a handle to be able to twist the drill. So that handle is called a kashtonis. In all the above examples, tohor. Because all of these components of the apparatus are secondary components. They're not considered a chibur. So that if the metal part of this apparatus becomes tomei, these parts, this whole list, the chut, mishicha, amos, nifim, achbesh, shalchorosh, and kashtonis, are tohor, the person remains tohor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hanogeya b'malbein shel masor hagodol. Masor hagodol is a very large saw which is used to cut down logs into planks of wood. And so you have, imagine a saw with handles on both sides, a long, large saw. But in order to manipulate the saw, you need several people. So you would construct a malbein, a rectangle around the saw, but attached tightly to the saw, so people could station themselves at both ends of this malbein and move the malbein back and forth in a sawing motion. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the person who touches the malbein of the Masor HaGadol is also Tohor, because the only thing that is Tomei is the actual handle attached to the metal saw. So the Malbein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would not be considered a Chibur. The Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Malbein is considered, because it functions as a handle, it's considered a Chibur, according to the Chachamim, but not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, imagine a bow and arrow. The arrow is made of metal, and it's conceivable that the arrow is Tomei. It's actually conceivable that the arrow could be an Avi Avos HaTumah, because if the arrow comes into contact with a dead body, then that arrow itself takes on Kherev HaRehu Kecholol. The arrow itself takes on the status of being an Avi Avos HaTumah. So that whatever touches, the person who touches that arrow directly would be an Avatumah. But let's just make it simplified. Let's imagine the arrow itself came into contact with a Tomei mace, and the arrow is only an Avatumah. And now a person touches the string of the arrow or the bow, Hanogeya by Yeser. Yeser is the string which is straight, which connects the two ends of the curved bow, Uvakeshes, or if he touches the bow, Afal Pishahi Misucha, even if the arrow is stretched, meaning it's all ready for the arrow to be in it, and the arrow is Tomei, nevertheless, the person who touches the Yeser or the Keshes is Tohor, because the Yeser and the Keshes are not considered Chiburim to the Chetz. If they're not connected to the Chetz, to the arrow, then they are simply Pshutei Kliyetz. A rope is not Mekabel Tumah if that's the Yeser, a string, and the bow, if it's made of wood, has no receptacle, has no base kibul, so it's a Pshutei Kliyetz, it's not Mekabel Tumah. And the only way it could be Mekabel Tumah if it would be considered Mechubar, if it would be considered a Chibur to the Chetz. But it's not a Chibur to the Chetz. The Chetz is an arrow, and the bow is a bow. Now we have an interesting contraption, a trap which kills an animal called an ishus. Some say it's a mole. Chazal described it as an animal that has no eyes but burrows underground and ruins fields. That's what the ishus is. According to some, Baigon says that the ishus is one of the shmona shrotzim, is one of the eight rodents, which its corpse is metame tumas sheretz, is a sheretz. And which one is it? In the list, it says hachomet v'hatinshomes. So the Targum translates tinshomes as ishus. So some say it's this bria, this creature called an ishus, called a tinshomes in Hebrew. Ishus is a synonym for it. Whatever, it's a rodent of some sort that's harmful to the fields or to the crops. So you want to trap it and kill it. So you have a trap, a primitive trap. When it's open, meaning when it's stretched and ready to descend, but hasn't descended yet upon this poor ishus, and the ishus comes creeping up to the bait, which is in the trap, attached to the top plank of wood of this trap is a arrow, a sharp pole, a sharp rod, pointed at the end, so that if the trap is sprung and the top plank of wood comes down, that arrow, that spike, kills the ishus that crept into the trap. So, the Mishnah says, the Tanakhama says, Mitsudas ho ishus, this trap, the trap, this bria, this creature called an ishus, tohora, is not mikabel tumah. The reason is because this trap is made of two planks of wood, a bottom one upon which the bait is, and an upper one to which the spike is attached. When the animal comes between these two planks of wood. So this is not considered a kli. This is not considered a vessel. It's a trap. And therefore, according to Tanna Kamma, it is tahora, is not mikabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer calls man shehi misucha chibur. Rabbi Yehuda says, when the trap is tightened, meaning it's ready to be sprung, the spike of wood is there, ready to spring, then the pieces of wood are considered connected to the spike, and the spike is made of metal, so therefore the planks of wood are also mekabel tuma. Even though they're pshutei kliyeitz, they're just flat planks of wood, but if they are part of a contraption which has at its major component a metal chetz, a metal spike, a metal arrow, then they are also mekabel tuma. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Misucha, the word misucha means stretched or tightened, which means ready to hit, ready to be, to spring into action. We have the come across often in Chazal, Midas Hadin Misucha, the harsh judgment of God is stretched, meaning the trap is ready to be sprung and to kill its prey. So he finished the 21st Perek. Now we begin the 22nd Perek with the first Mishnah. Mishnah Aleph says, Hashulchon v'hadulpiki shenifchasu. Suppose you have a table, but the table once was a chveis 3 feet wide and 4 feet long, and now a big part of the table is broken and chopped off and decayed and whatnot, but you still have a little bit of table remaining. A shulchan is a table, a dulpaki is a small table. Some say that the word dulpaki, the Tiferes Yisrael says this, is derived from the fact that these tables were made in Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, which was a city in ancient Greece, and that's why it's called a dulpaki, meaning it comes from Delphi. Anyway, it's a sort of table. O shechipon b'shayish, or a table which has been layered over with marble, so it has a marble coating on top of it. And marble is not mekabel tuma, and in general, kelim which are mitsupim, which are coated, are not mekabel tuma, as we learned back in the 11th perek in the 6th Mishnah. And shayish, marble is avonim, stone, and clay avonim are not mekabel tuma. So here you have a shulchan or dulpaki which have been reduced in size, either because part of them has been chopped off or because part of it or much of it has been covered over, coated with shayish, with marble. As long as v'shier bohem makom hanochas hakosos, as long as you can put a couple of cups down on this table, or in the case of chipon b'shayish, there's an exposed part of the table which is not covered with marble, which still wood is exposed, where you can put down kosos, where you can put down cups, then temeyin. As long as the table has that much left of exposed wood or remaining wood, it is mekabel tuma, even though it's a very small fraction of the original table. But that's the shulchan. If it can function as a table, it's a table. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mekom Hanochas Chatichos. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not sufficient if you have a table with room enough for kosos. It has to also have room for food, for a slice of bread, a chunk of meat, etc. Then it's Mekabel Tuma. If it doesn't have the Mekom Hanochas Chatichos, so then it's not a shulchan. A shulchan which only can hold cups is not sufficient. The Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, understands that the reason for the machlokas here of the Tanna Kamma and the Rabbi Yehuda is this. What you have here is what you have here is pshutei kliyeitz, a flat piece of wood, a tabletop. So it's not mekabel tuma unless it is mishamesh, unless it serves a certain purpose. So the Tanna Kamma says, if the purpose that it's serving is merely to hold cups, that's sufficient because it is mishamesh kelim. It is mishamesh utensils, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not sufficient for it to be mekabel tumah that it holds cups which are kelim. It has to be mishamesh adam v'kelim. It has to be directly useful to a human being, and also, in addition, support kelim. So if it has room for kosos plus chatichos, so the kelim, the kosos, are kelim, which are misham sheyodom, and the slice of bread on the table is directly helping the man keep that table from falling to the ground or whatever. So therefore, it's mishamesh odom and kelim, and it is mekabel tumah. But without the hanochas chatichos, it's only mishamesh kelim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that's not sufficient to make pshutei kliyetz roy lekabel tumah. And so we have finished, we actually have begun this 22nd perek with its first Mishnah, and we've completed and finished lesson number 86.